Take your Bibles while you're standing. Go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse number 30. John chapter 16 and verse number 30. We'll read down to the last of the chapter, verse 33. You read verse 31 with me and I'll read verse 30. John chapter 16 and verse 30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And let's pray together. Father, we come as your people this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's pure. Thank you that you've preserved it. Lord, please strengthen us. Speak to our hearts. Lord, we need your touch and your comfort. We need your presence. We need your help. And Father, I just pray that please, you'd strengthen each heart and help us, please, to trust you more because of what we learn. And may we love you more because of what we learn. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Okay, you're there in John chapter 16. I call this sermon, Jesus Comforting Me, out of John 16. And you say, why is that? If you read John 13, it's Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. When this happens, within 12 hours, he's going to be crucified the next morning. This is on Tuesday night. He's going to be crucified on Wednesday. And you read John 13, and Jesus teaches us to serve one another and to love one another. And then when you read John chapter 14, 15, and 16, it is Jesus preparing the disciples for what they don't know that's coming. They think they do, but they have no clue. They're getting ready to watch the one that they know is God in the flesh die on a cross. They have no idea what's coming. So John 14, 15, and 16 is Jesus preparing them and giving them truths of the Holy Spirit and what's going to happen. And John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Not Matthew 6, but where Jesus prays the whole chapter. And he prays not for the world, but for us who are in the world. And you go and so as you go through this, that's why verse 33 says, These things have I spoken unto you. What things? John 14, 15, and 16. And there's beautiful truths here. We've gone through some of them. We've looked at them. And as I deal with our society and the insanity that we're all, you know, as I deal with questions I can't answer, I can't help. I don't. Here's how I use John 14, 15, and 16. I don't know what's coming. I can't answer questions. You say, well, what about this and what about this? There's so much right now. I don't have the answers. You say, well, then what do? I run to John 14, 15, and 16, and I pull the truths. If Jesus was trying to prepare the apostles for what they would face, because keep in mind, what would happen after Jesus dies on a cross? Then they were going to face their martyrdom. They'd be used of the Lord in a great way, but they themselves, John would be boiled in oil and die a natural death, but the rest of them would all die martyrs' deaths. We learned this morning Matthew would be staked to a ground and have his head cut off. And it would all happen within a week. Before that, he was loved and appreciated by the previous king. To prepare for suffering, Jesus gives us John 14, 15, and 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. If I back up to verse number 31, Jesus answered then and said, Do you now believe? He knew what was coming. Look. He was saying, I know you know who I am, but your faith now is not strong enough to hold you with what you're... He knew what was coming. Do you now believe? And he's trying to prepare them for their failure. Because the next verse, when he says, Do you believe in me? Do you believe? Because they just confessed it. We believe you've come from God. We believe you're God in the flesh. But do you believe it enough to help you through? Look at the next verse. When you read verse 30... 2, he said, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye should be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." This is about 11 o'clock at night, and in about 3 hours, they're going to go out to Gethsemane. They're going to sing a hymn, and then they're going to go out to Gethsemane. And Jesus is going to take the elite, James, John, and Peter. And the others are going to stay a little bit behind, but to Gethsemane, in humanly speaking, his greatest hour, where it says his soul would be sorrowed unto death. And in his greatest need, those he spent the last 3.5 years with, the elite, are going to do what? Fall asleep. They're going to sleep while he sweats blood. And he gets up, and he already knows. You can't tell me they couldn't remember that failure for the rest of their life. I should have been praying. And what was Jesus' question? Couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? You have no idea what's coming, and I brought you here to pray with me, and you can't stay awake for 1 hour? And instead of pleading with him in prayer, they do what? They fall asleep. And he says, the grace of our Lord, when you read through the Gospels, how did Jesus did say, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? And then he said what? The spirit's willing, the flesh is. He's trying to get them, you feel like you failed me, but don't quit, right? He just points that out. So in Gethsemane is the first time he's alone. He said, y'all are getting ready to leave me. You know, Peter, you know, I'll die for you. I'll go anywhere you want. Will you, Peter? Just a couple hours, you're going to deny me 3 times. If that wasn't the kiss of Judas, they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the torches come up the hill. Where is he? Where's Jesus of Nazareth? And he says, I am he, blows them all backwards. And Judas comes and kisses him, touches the blood that could have saved his soul. But Judas, I think that cut. But I think the cowardice that hurt him the most is when he heard Peter cuss and swear, saying, I don't know him. I'll prove to you I don't know him. And then he cussed. Jesus was right down the hall. I think that hurt a lot worse. He's saying, you're getting ready to be scattered. You don't know what's coming. Let me prepare you so that you can have peace in me. He said, you're going to leave me alone, yet I'm not going to be alone because the Father's with me. But for our sin, think with me just for a second, even on the cross, he had to say, my God, why hast thou what? Forsaken me, as he became our filth and our sin and was judged in our place. God had to turn his back on his son. So no, God never left Jesus, but Jesus said, you all are getting ready to leave me. Yet alone, but I'm not alone, and the Father is with me. When I think of what's coming, and Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, I don't think they could have handled if they'd known what was coming. But whatever trials we're supposed that we have coming, that we, for instance, you know, you've heard me say, nobody knew in 2020 what was coming, right? None of us did. We look back on it now and we what? We thank the Lord for his guiding hand, right? All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? I can see his guiding hand. When we were in the midst of it, it was, every day was a walk of faith. Every day, I didn't know what the next day held. I don't think we're through the storm. I think more's coming. And so I cannot help but run to these chapters, and I think, Lord, if the apostles would have known what was coming, Jesus said, whatever you face, as I'll never leave you, and you can do it in peace. There's nothing that you need to lose it over, right? Aren't you glad? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. I think it's just amazing. Let me examine it just for a second. Verse 32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered. In his darkest hour in Gethsemane, his disciples couldn't even pray with him. And then on the cross, isn't it amazing? No one, John was the only one, everyone else left. They followed afar off, and they were at a distance. And I said this morning in Sunday school, there were only two voices that spoke against Jesus being on the cross. One was Pilate's wife. That is a just man. He has done nothing wrong. And who is the other one who spoke in Jesus' favor? The thief on the cross. John didn't speak up. None of the apostles. He was literally left alone to die and misunderstood in our place. And yet, he knew what was coming. And I love this. Can I show you a precious verse? Look at how it starts it all. Look at John chapter 13. Look at verse number 1. This is Tuesday night before the crucifixion. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Watch, I wish you'd underline it. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I'm so glad. You would have thought at the crucifixion, Jesus would have the right, and he didn't, but he would have the right to say, where were the people that he healed? He healed whole towns where nobody was sick. Where were the people, where were the families that he reunited when he'd heal the lepers and the dads could go back and hug their wives and hug their children again for the first time? Where were the people? Nobody was around. Nobody to speak on the behalf of the Lord. And couldn't God have said if he wanted to, and I'm so glad he didn't, well, if you're going to forsake me, then I forsake you. Fine, I'll go back to heaven if this is the way you're going to treat me. And he didn't. Aren't you glad? He loved them unto the end, and he never stopped. And even in the mistreatment, to be God and know what you're going to suffer, know you're going to be lied about, know you're going to be misunderstood, he's the first cry on the cross was what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a God. What a loving Father. So here we are. Go back to John chapter 16. And Jesus is saying, everything that I've just taught you is so that you can face your failure in forsaking me. You're going to leave me. You're not going to stick by my side through thick and thin. And I don't think they were traitors. Judas was a traitor. But I think they got so scared they became cowards. There's a difference between a coward and a traitor. A coward is someone whose fear overtakes them. And the fear makes the decision, not faith, right? So I understand the difference between being a traitor and being a coward, but they all had to live with this. If we go back to after the crucifixion, I'm thinking through it, and just think with me, and then I'll draw some conclusions. Can you imagine what it would have been like to see Jesus after he rose from the dead on the seashore, and he has a meal fixed for the disciples? They get done fishing, and they're counting the fish, 153. And can you imagine Jesus looking at Peter saying, "You love me"? He's correcting Peter's denial. And then what did Peter say? "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And then he looks at him again and he asked him two more times, "You denied me three times, Peter. I can ask you three times. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" I can't help but picture, as a Christian, I fail the Lord. I find my sometimes decisions can have an element of cowardice. Well, you ought to just go forward and always triumph for the Lord. Sometimes I do triumph for the Lord, but I find myself failing also in sometimes fear. Then I correct myself and I find myself, I'm so thankful for his patience and his love and my failures. He doesn't throw me in the trash can when I fail him, but my faith needs to strengthen. And Jesus said, "I want you to be able to face what's coming with my peace, as I look at this morning, John chapter 16, look at verse 32. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." What you're going to face in the future is going to cause you to want to scatter and leave the Lord. Don't do it. If you do, I'm so glad he won't leave you. Amen? He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." But they all did. I'd like to say, yeah, this is one big success story. Jesus taught them, they applied what he taught them, and they stuck with him. They didn't. I think we're in for some rough times socially in America. I'm so glad my salvation's set. Amen. I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. But I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. I know Jesus is coming. Amen. But I don't see things getting better. I think things are getting ready to get dark. So I, as a pastor, I find myself saying, what can I do? This morning, I get comfort from this, and I'm trying to give it to you. I'd like to think, you know what? If I'll just stick close to the Lord, I can face anything that tomorrow throws at me. But when I leave the Lord, it's when I lose my faith and I get scared. I run. You do that? You've never done that? The apostles did it several times before the crucifixion. They did it at the crucifixion, and they didn't do it until he was risen from the dead. I need to learn as a Christian how to handle my failure, because he's preparing them. He's trying to prepare them. When I look at verse 33, Jesus said here, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Okay, that's a promise. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you do anything for God, there's going to be a devil that tries to stop you. And the question comes, Luke chapter 6, we could turn there, but Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." You mean you live for God and everybody loves you? You don't have any enemies? You can't live for God without making the devil's crowd mad, right? So Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. What world? That world that Jesus so loved that he died for. But that world that 1 John chapter 5 lieth in wickedness, that world that we're told not to love. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That world. In that world, you're going to have tribulation. What's tribulation mean? It was in reference to a torture when they would lay a man on a slab and they would put one huge slab on top of him, and then the breathing would start to be restricted, and then they would take another several hundred pound slab and put that. It was a crushing pressure till finally it gave way and he was crushed in it. That's called a tribulation. And Jesus said, there are going to be things you're going to face in the future that have the potential of crushing you if you don't stick close to me. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. Well, I thought since I got saved, everything would be easy. If anything, after you get saved, you gained an enemy that you didn't have before. The devil, you used to be the devil's chew toy before you got saved. He could get you anytime he wanted you. Now you belong to God if you're saved. And now, now there's trials that God allows in our lives to make us stronger, not to destroy us. But in the world, you're going to have tribulation. That is a promise of God, Christian. It's not going to get, in other words, it's not going to get easier till we get to heaven. It's going to get harder. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. That tells me this. I'm not going to escape it, but I can make it through it with the Lord. So, Christian, read your Bible. You say, what do you do? As the world gets more tumultuous as we get closer to Jesus coming, I don't mind saying that. That's a fact, right? That helps explain what's going on. The Antichrist is getting ready to rule. The rapture is getting ready. We're supposed to be longing for heaven. We're looking for the Lord, but we're in perilous times. So guess what? You need the Bible. You need your time with the Lord. I've said it before. If you're not reading your Bible now, what does it take for you to read your Bible? Nothing disturbs you?
Oh, yeah, things have always been this way.
Really?
You know, what's been the talk this week? Afghanistan. You know,
things are the way they want them in Afghanistan because that's what the White House wants. They said we could bomb any supply line, anything. We could get any American out of there literally in an hour. The only reason things are that way is because that's the way they want them. And I got news for you. You can gripe all you want, but you ain't changing nothing. I didn't say I like it, but that's just part of the insanity that we're going through. Right? That we're watching. I'm an American. I don't want anything bad to happen to another American. Amen? But you ain't stopping it. And I got news. There's more decisions coming down the pike that's going to be just as disturbing as this was this week. You say, how do you handle it? I don't run to Washington. Run to your Bible. This is the only thing I have in my life that's not changing. This is the only thing that I'll wake up tomorrow that will be exactly the same. That's why I can have peace.
Well, aren't you bothered? Aren't you?
Christian, are you praying? What does it take for you to pray? Are things bad enough or do things got to get worse? Things are going to get worse, but my goodness, how come you're not reading your Bible and praying every day? How come your time with the Lord is not number one priority right now? In the world, in that world that lies in wickedness, that God's going to judge in the tribulation, ye shall have tribulation. But I'm telling you these things so that you can have my peace. My peace. My peace. When you read John chapter 16, look at verse 33 again. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That's a promise from the Lord. But watch this. The last part of it's amazing. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Okay, think with me just for a second. He hasn't died on a cross yet, but he's overcome the world. He hasn't risen from the dead yet, but he's overcome the world. And that same Jesus who's going to die and be buried and rise again and smash the snake's head, devil's head, he's going to conquer death. He said, whatever you go through, I have overcome. And Christian, you say, you can have access to that if he lives inside of you. We're more than, Romans chapter 8, we are more than overcomers, right? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If he lives inside of you, then he says, I've overcome what you're getting ready to face. Glory to God. That means all I need, I don't have cop-outs and I don't like cliches, but all I need right now is the Lord. All I need is my relationship with him. I need the Lord. He's the only thing in my life right now that makes sense. I'm not used to this America. I'm not used to this way of thinking. That's okay. I know God's in control and I'm in God's hand. In the world ye shall have tribulation. I have overcome the world. I've overcome it. Whatever you're getting ready to face, that helps me. Look at right here before he says, I've overcome the world, but be of good cheer. I think everybody's got a different personality, and I know how some people are dealing with a situation right now. And if your personality is non-confrontational, I understand that. Some people, they're like, oh, I just don't want to hear about it. I don't think ignorance will help you right now, okay? But that's my personality. I understand that. Then there are others that I'm trying to learn as much as I can about what's going on. I'm trying so I can help our people, so I can make educated decisions. I don't want to shoot my mouth off and hurt somebody. I pray for you. I care for you. I love you. I want the best for you. It doesn't mean I'm right. It just means I'm trying. But Jesus said, I've overcome what you're getting ready to face, and you can be of good cheer. Ye that love the Lord, rejoice in him. I think we're headed into darker times. I don't think things are going to get better. I think they're going to get worse. But that doesn't mean I have to be depressed either, right? And anytime I get depressed, and I do, and I have to get a hold of myself, oh, so you're facing things you've never faced before. Guess what you're going to have to do, Greg Nash? You're going to have to trust the Lord. Maybe more than you ever have before. But there's no reason for me to walk in depression and fear in life. I can be of good cheer because he's already overcome what I'm facing. Isn't that what he said? These things I'm trying to teach you. I wish you could go home and read John 14, 15, and 16 in that light and let Jesus prepare you and strengthen you. He says, I'll never leave you. Isn't it wonderful to know? Here, let me just show you a couple of things that really helped me. Look at John 14. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus says, I live inside of you. Christian, that's only for us. They're losing it. I don't blame them. If you're lost, I don't know how you face this right now without the Lord. I feel sorry for them. I don't know. I don't want to picture life not being lost. But Jesus said, if you're saved, I won't leave you without comfort. I'll help you. We're the only people that have that comfort. I don't need the drugs. I don't need antidepressants right now. I need the Lord. I need the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. I need his guide. Okay, that is one verse, 14, 18. I love thinking about it. Jesus promised me, I will not. You can have God's comfort anytime you want it. That does pull me out of the mully grubs. It does help me. I'm not facing. Aren't you glad there's nothing you have to do tomorrow alone? If you want to, you can, but you don't have to. Aren't you glad? I won't leave you comfortless. Look at verse John 16. Look at verse 13. Look at John 16:13.
I know I'm kind of skipping around in these three chapters here, but watch this. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I have those words, he will guide you, underlined, into all truth. Whatever it is we're going to face, I need God's guidance. I don't have what it takes to navigate through the waters. Jesus does. I need his guidance. He's promised me he will guide me. Glory to God. He can guide me. But Christian, you got to let him. Can I give you a main truth on here? I wish we could do a Bible study on how does God. I did one time. It was called How Does God Guide You? And God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. One way God guides you, God never guides you. Anytime I get scared, I have to calm myself down or God can't lead me. Because God doesn't lead you that way. God doesn't get you running in a direction. Ah, we got to do this. You got to calm. I wish some of you. Now, as a pastor, I watch people and I can tell when people are scared. I can tell when the emotions are, you know, high, and I've got to get a hold of myself. And I preached a sermon here one time. It was called Don't Make a Decision When Your Decision Maker's Broke. If you know you're not thinking straight, if you know you're scared, then don't make any decision. Back up. I don't have to make a decision right now. I need to get a hold of myself and yield to the Holy Spirit, and then he'll guide me. But God doesn't guide you with fear, ever, ever. Well, why are you making this decision? Well, I'm scared of dying. Okay, I'm not looking for the next train out either. But fear should never make a decision. I'll say it again. If they told us a worse virus is coming, and this time, you know, with COVID, you have a 99.9% chance of living if you get it. It has the same death rate as the flu, unless you have extenuating circumstances, okay? I think everybody knows that by now. That's not me making small of it. That's CDC, right? So you have a 99.9% chance of living if you get it. If a new disease comes out next year that they say this has a 99.9% chance of killing you, I've learned some things. God's taught me some things. I still would want to come to church. If we're all going to die, I don't want to die at home with my home wrapped in Visqueen. And I definitely don't want to go to the hospital, be talking to family over the radio. You understand if it's that bad? You understand? Well, we're all going to, okay, well, I'm not for just, but I know how important it is. You know what I would do? I'd want to pray with people. In those times, now we're not there. And nor do I, okay, do you think we're getting there? Don't do that. I'm just trying to give you a hypothetical right now. But if I thought, I'd still want to be with God's people. Did you know there's been times, there's been threats of death? Remember the anthrax? I went through a whole Bible study one time, and for the last 20 years, since the year 2000, there's always been something every year that they said it's going to kill us all. Now, I think, you know, things are getting worse, but that's okay. Christian, this morning, God's comforted me with John 16. And Jesus said, I'm trying to teach you so that you can have my peace. I'm trying to teach you these things. In the world, you're going to suffer. You're going to have tribulation. You cannot do away with it. There is not an easy road. If anything, the hard times now cause us to look forward to heaven, right? But be of good cheer. You can walk around with a smile on your face. Yesterday, when we were out soul winning, Brother Miller and I, man, gave a track. Up, stay up there. Here's a lady in her yard, in the middle of her yard. COVID. I said, sunshine. I wanted to say, haven't we been taught that our whole lives? If you're outside, you know, I said, yeah, leave it up there. COVID. Okay. Love to have you sometime. Probably not, but it's good to know you're invited. People are freaking out. Those little cameras they got on the doors now, you know, you ring the doorbell. No answers at none of them. People are looking through their cameras. Ah! They used to think we were FBI. You know what I mean? Right? Okay. Now it's FBI plus COVID. You know what I mean? We had one door yesterday, knocked on, you know, lady opened it up. Bye. To me, the COVID stuff is one more reason to not let the soul winner talk. They had enough reasons before. It's just one more reason. People are going to die and go to hell. And I, you know, I'm not going to, Brother Miller and I, we walk back to the car. I'm still going to do what I've been told to do. But I'm watching people freak out, and I don't think it's going to digress. So, we live in a messed up world. Can you run to your Bible, Christian? Can you read it? John 16. Let's just read together what we read this morning. John 16. Look at verse 31. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And verse 33, I hope you turn back to it and look at it. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." This morning, I'm an overcoming Christian. I hope I act like it. Sometimes I don't. I fail the Lord. But I can't. I've got all the reasons to smile. I've got all the reasons to rejoice. I've got all the reasons to praise God, and I'm never going to die and go to hell. And my sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I can rejoice. Be of good cheer, regardless of what tomorrow holds. You can only do that one way, by faith, by holding to that book. This morning, I wanted to give you some encouragement. Confer, I know I went negative. I know that. But I'm trying to, I told him yesterday when we were before soul winning, sometimes I preach to myself because I need it. I need what? I need the encouragement from God's word. And I hope this morning you could leave church thinking, you know what? None of us have the answers, but we have the Lord. And we can be of good cheer because he has come. Glory to God. Let's pray together. Father, please do what only you can do. Thank you. You love us to the end.